You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, Marquis Laughlin here. Welcome to another edition of Bible Prophecy Daily, the podcast just made for you to be able to keep up with and dig into the really hard questions about Bible prophecy. And so many great teachers and preachers on this podcast. I just so enjoy going through. And if you have not made great use of the archives to do deep dives into topics, this is great. This is like having conversations with a dozen to 15 Bible scholars who have spent years reflecting on the end times and figuring these things out. All of us have had to adjust our theology to scriptures we did not take into account at one time, or we realize we see something today we couldn't see 10 years ago or 5 years ago, or on our 15th shot at studying it. So we're all open to God opening our eyes. We're humble. We're trying to search the scriptures alongside you. We're open to you sending us some notes saying, hey, here's what I found. What do you think? And running things by each other. So we're all joining together to be watchmen on the wall to try to keep as many of open-eyed, open-eared, watching believers equipped so that they can tell people what's going on and share as they see things approaching quickly. And we really are. It's been kind of amazing. We are in a series I call the Director's Commentary. This is on chapter 16 this week. Be covering that, chapter 15. We just did chapter 14. So I'm going to be covering chapter 15. And really, to kind of give you context, we're going to try to give you the timing of when this scene takes place. It really sets up the bowl judgments that are poured out by the seven angels. I want to give you the context of the timing of it, and then I'll read it to you, and I'll give you a little commentary as we read. But the context is, we've just seen the careers of the Antichrist and the false prophet. We've been told about them and what they do, and it's culminated in the mark of the beast being instigated, implemented, basically demanding the whole world worship the beast by taking a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you could be martyred or jailed, and you can't buy or sell, which puts people like you and I in a bind. A lot of Israelis who will not worship anything but Yahweh and us, who are, we know better. We have the scriptures that tell us and warn us about this. So a lot of people are going to die because of that law. And so that's where chapter we're left off in the end of chapter 13. And then in chapter 14, we see Jesus come with the clouds to harvest the earth. He sends his angels out to gather his elect. And right behind him is another angel who comes to pour out God's wrath on the earth in the form of judgment, where Jesus is literally going to trample them. They're going to die by the sword that comes out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. So he's going to trample them. He's going to kill He's going to kill the armies and the kings of the earth as they try to attack him and make war with him. He's going to make war with them, and he's going to win. So that's what we have just seen in Revelation chapter 13 and then in chapter 14. So, and obviously, alongside that, the first fruits of Israel come to faith and are protected from the wrath of God that's going to be poured out on the nations. So God has just showed us that. That's a camera angle. These scenes are several other places in Scripture that you could look to get more information about. One of them is Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 24 and 25 is another place. Daniel, you can go to the book of Daniel. I would say Daniel chapter 12, chapter 11 and 12. You can look in there. You can see this sequence of events. There are some Psalms that have the same sequence of events too. Bad guy comes, the psalmist cries out, he's surrounded by enemies who basically steal everything he has and want to take his life. He is prey, he's sold to his enemies for a price, and he's looking at God saying, how long, why aren't you answering me? And then the heavens open up and God comes down and answers him. So we have these pictures over and over again of this same sequence of events. So that should really seal it for you as far as being able to say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. God's told us over and over what's going to happen. So you go back and look at that. So for Revelation chapter 15, I'm going to read it and then we can kind of go through it. As I read it, I'll read a little part and then give a little commentary. Hopefully this will help you. So after the end of chapter 14, and we see the angel basically throwing the grapes of God's wrath into the winepress of his wrath. He gathers them together. And this, a lot of people believe this might be the gathering together of the armies by those three, using those three evil spirits. They go out to gather the armies together to the Megiddo. So basically, this the ultimate the beast and the false prophet and the ten kings that are fighting want to fight against Jesus and the kings of the world that gather to one place and God judges them, and that's what that's believed to be a picture of the ultimate the last fight. From the Antichrist, where he directly fights Christ and his army. So that's what we've just seen in chapter 14. So here we are. He says in chapter 15, he says, then I saw another sign in heaven. Now this denotes, I'm going to give you another camera angle. This is something different. I just gave you a sequence. Now I'm going to go back and give you another camera angle so that you kind of get a better idea of what's happening. So different story, segue, great place for a chapter break, actually. Sometimes it's not, but I think this is perfect. Chapter 15, it says, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. So there's a great line, because if they're the last, there was actually first. There was something first before this. Some wrath was poured out before this. And we see exactly where that wrath starts in Revelation chapter 6. It says, the eyewitnesses to Jesus appearing in the clouds to gather us together to himself, the eyewitnesses, the unbelievers, run and hide in caves, and they say to the rocks and the mountains they're hiding in, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? So they A, know who Jesus is, because I believe the two witnesses have been preaching to them, and so they know who it is when they see his face. And they know he's in coming in the clouds, and they know that they're dead now. We're in trouble now. God is going to pour out his wrath any moment. That's why they're running into the caves then. So it hasn't happened. It didn't happen with the seals. That wasn't God's wrath. It happens with that first trumpet judgment, which is identical to Sodom and Gomorrah, and even Noah, because when God's wrath was poured out on Sodom and Gomorrah from the sky, fire and brimstone, which is exactly what the first trumpet judgment is. And the whole idea of even rain pouring out from the sky, the day it rained was the day God's wrath fell on the unrighteous of Noah's day. So very clear when God's wrath starts. But this is this announcement is saying seven angels have the last of God's wrath. And remember, we have just seen Jesus battling fighting battles on Israel's behalf. And now we're seeing this series of plagues that comes after the trumpet judgments. Remember, the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. And what did we hear? Loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. So literally, after the seven trumpet judgments, Jesus is basically going on the ground and heads are rolling. You know what I'm saying? So he is literally establishing his kingdom right then. So you have a 5 month long trumpet judgment. I believe it's the fifth seal that people can't die who've taken the mark of the beast for 5 months. They want to die, but they get stung by these demonic locusts. That is a, who knows how long those trumpet judgments will last? Maybe a year, maybe 9 months, but at least 5 months. They can't die for 5 months. They get tortured for 5 months. That's just one trumpet. That's one trumpet judgment. So I'm saying that is an indication of what the unbeliever who does not get caught up and taken out of before God's judgment, what they're going to have to endure. And then after those trumpet judgments, the seventh angel sounds that trumpet, and we start to see this event happen. These seven angels with the seven plagues, and they get ready to pour them out on the earth. Now, I'll go on with chapter 15. I'll go in chapter 15. He sees the seven angels, the seven plagues, which are the last ones, for with them the wrath of God is finished. Then he says in verse 2, and I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Think about it. They conquered the beast by the word of their testimony and the blood of Jesus. Think about it. They are you and me. If the mark is instituted, they are saints who endured. Like Jesus said, blessed are those who endure. This calls for endurance, faithfulness and patience on a part of the saints. They have endured by enduring the persecution of the Antichrist. They are believers who endured the persecution of the Antichrist. So there's no doubt, because we have their quotes. We have a description of them being believers and enduring the persecution of the Antichrist. They're there, right there, singing about it. So that you can't deny there won't be believers who have to endure the persecution of the Antichrist. We have the quotes. We have what they say after they do it. So then it says, after this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. So he's seeing a scene in heaven. He looks and he sees another scene, and he sees the sanctuary, the temple in heaven. God's temple in heaven is open. And out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They're clothed in pure, bright linen with golden sashes around their chest. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. So they are presented with these seven bowls of God's wrath. And we're going to hear a voice coming from the temple in chapter 16. Next week, telling them to pour them out. But you see how this is so, the timing and sequence of things is very obvious. As a matter of fact, it is the timing and sequence of God, the way God does things, are described in the seven feast days. If you look at this, you have 7 days of the week, you got seven angels, you got seven feast appointed feast, seven appointed times, you can see this sequence of events, which also describes the harvest. The harvest of the earth, there's a time for harvest, there's a time for first fruits. This whole sequence is an over and over thing about God's, and it has to do with God's ways of doing things. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. I believe that's Ecclesiastes. King Solomon realized that. So that's what you're seeing. There's a time for God's wrath to be poured out in its culmination. And you know, what's interesting is he pours out his wrath on the earth in these bowl judgments. That's primarily the focus. Primarily on the earth, the physical earth things. So it's like he pours out his wrath on man in the trumpets, more on people in their living situation, and then he pours it out more on the nature and on the earth. And remember, there is a part of God's process and way he does things is when he destroys things, he sets them up so that they will grow and be better and be renewed. There's a transformation with the destruction. God takes what was meant for evil and causes it for good. He's going to bring about his kingdom on earth from a decimated earth. Think about it. The earth is not going to be in its best shape. They're actually, one of the 24 elders say back in chapter 11, hey, it's time for judging those who revere your name and also for destroying those who destroy the earth. So the earth is really going to take a licking here from mankind, and God, as he pours out his bowls of wrath, is starting, literally, he's starting the redemption process, even in this pouring out of the bowls. It's like a fire that burns a forest. Oh, it's devastated, but that ash goes into the ground, it's going to produce something good, given time. It's a process of renewal that is starting from a process of the breakdown and destruction. So God is always up to something good, even with his wrath. He's getting rid of a lot of bad stuff when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. When he, you know, every time God's wrath is poured out, it's not, we look at it and think, oh, that's terrible. No, but what we should be looking at is saying, thank you, God, for getting rid of that. And deciding to replace it with something new and better. So with that said, we will look at chapter 16 next month. I'm looking forward to it. The bowls of God's wrath, very holy, humble thing to even know about and to fear. We have a great God, a great and awesome God. And just to be in awe of him every day as I look at his word is such a privilege. And I hope you take it as a privilege too, the precious knowledge we have about the Lord and just all the things he's doing and is going to do. It's just amazing. We are so privileged to be able to study this. So, hey, if you have a question, I will definitely try to answer it. If I can, I'll try to point you to somebody who can. You can send me an email. Marquis@actsoftheword.com, Marquis@actsoftheword.com, or just go to my website, actsoftheword.com. I'd love to hear from you, and like I say, try to help you as you're in your search to understand Scripture better and the end times in particular, because these are the days. We are in the end times right now, and we can look around and see how much so much is happening that is so relevant that prophets and disciples, you know, that have gone before us they long to look into the things we're able to see even so much more clearly today. So with that said, hey, till the Lord Jesus comes, my prayers are with all who long for his appearance. Maranatha.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.